Right, this is the Cool Shit Podcast. Each week we round up the latest cool shit, helping us think different and keep inspired. What makes it in, what gets left out, and what gets challenged. Is it cool, is it shit?
Or does it cross the magic threshold and come bona fide, certified cool shit?
Welcome to the editor's meeting.
Welcome to the Cool Shit Podcast, episode 52. I'm here with some usual suspects, and Chris is back. How are you going, Chris?
Oh, I'm great. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad.
Happy penultimate birthday.
Penultimate? I'm going to die, am I?
June birthday eve.
Sorry.
That's penultimate day before my birthday.
Yes,
not like this is my final birthday.
I hope not.
Like, geez, I mean, fingers crossed. You never know. You reach a certain age and you have to start asking those questions. Gina is back. Gina is fucking ridiculous, I must say. She's like something out of The Great Gatsby, sat here with a cocktail glass with, what's in that?
Espresso martini.
Yeah.
Or as you said earlier, espresso martino.
you know, I like...
same.
Yeah, exactly.
But I feel like I'm from the 1920s with this.
It's
I'm
a very nice glass.
I feel like I'd be a flapper.
Do you want to explain to the listeners why at 4:23 on an idle Wednesday you're drinking espresso martinis at work?
Why not?
Yeah, she's just an old lush. And James, the editor-in-chief of the Cool Shit newsletter and podcast, aka The Little Chief. How are you, sir?
I'm good. You said usual suspects. I'd like to point out that I was found not guilty, so let's just move on from that. But yeah, no, I'm good. So I've been intermittent fasting, so I'm feeling really strong.
It hasn't weakened you at all?
No. I feel great. I feel
is
absolutely
great.
There's
one man that doesn't need to intermittent fast. It's you little wretch.
I'm still eating the same amount, if not more, just in a smaller window.
Okay.
Actually, before we get going, I've got something else I want to mention as well. My mum listened to the podcast last week.
I know.
And she wasn't very happy with you calling me a Nepo baby. So to prove that I'm not a Nepo baby, I'm going to get my mum to ruin your career.
You'll never eat lunch in this town again. Okay, apart from grassing me up to your mum, actually, not really.
She listened to the podcast.
She likes the podcast. She was one of the early listeners, and she liked my voice, didn't she, James?
Yeah, she's gone off it.
She spat out her espresso martini away.
It's an espresso. It's espresso.
What was the second word you just said?
Just mixing it up, you know?
Listen,
Mrs. Allen, if you're listening.
Mrs. Hill, actually.
Oh, okay. All right. Mrs. Hill, I'm very sorry if I've offended you in any way. But your son's a Nepo baby. Anyway, no, he's not. He's a wonderful little boy.
Little
James.
Boy.
Thank you, I am.
Little boy.
What's been going on in the world of cool shit?
We've had some stuff. There's been a lot of video content. And there's a lot of actual kind of ads and stuff in it this week. I was torn with some of these, whether to include it in cool shit or to put it into cut culture, which is High Stakes Films' cool shit equivalent.
Plug.
We've got some stuff in there.
Okay, so just for the listeners, James picks two stories that he's going to talk about now, but there's plenty more in the newsletter. Let's do it up front. Where can they find the newsletter?
Oh, this is new.
Yeah, it's a bit normal, isn't it?
Zachagency.com/cool-sht. Cheers. Sorry. Pavlovian thing kicked in there.
All right, then, go on then. What's the first story?
So we were talking about the writer's strike last week, and that's still rumbling away.
Sure.
This is a bit of a continuation from that, because one of the main gripes of the writers that we spoke about is the fear that they might be replaced by AI. And I think both you two, pointing at Gareth and Gina, questioned whether AI would be able to capture the essential humanity that you get in great scripts. So I think you mentioned Succession. Well, the Brooklyn Film Festival agree with you, as they've just released some promo videos for the festival that focus on quintessentially human stories of failure, really, that a perfect emotionless machine would never be able to replicate.
So do you want to describe what happens in some of these then?
So there's two. I'd say one is better than the other. And it's about a minute and a half. It's extremely well written, just following the story of this fella who fancies himself as a writer and fails after being quite a high achieving child, it seems. Keeps failing. But then I guess because he's a human and failures are part of the human experience, he learns from those failures and eventually achieves a level of success, with the idea behind it being that AI could never go through that same kind of journey. So even if AI could do something that might kind of emulate the human experience, it will never be as real.
And that's their leaping off point, isn't it? Because there's another video that came along with it, or another little short, and it's about, it's quite funny actually, it's about a woman that's got a grill of teeth that are all diamond encrusted in gold in her mouth, and she's really regretting it because she can't get rid of it as she goes into a job interview.
Things are going wrong, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Now, playing devil's advocate with my own opinion, the danger to highlight is coders can do anything. So they can start to code into for instance, a program or AI, every fourth or fifth try, it doesn't work. So the AI can start to experience failure. It's a driving force of being a human. Like you fail, you work it out, you get around it. That journey has impacted you in a way that's then written into your code. Could we not do that with, you know, coding AI?
Kind of. You mentioned a journey, but for the AI, it's just methodical, cold, hard facts. Whereas the human experience of learning is much more emotion driven. And like, for example, if you have a painful experience where you're embarrassed, it's that memory of the real kind of visceral pain of it that makes you learn from it and want to avoid it. We're in danger of talking semantics because the end result might actually be the same thing. But I think that's the distinction that they're going for.
I think one of the interesting things about all of the questions about AI at the moment, because it has moved so fast, it is super interesting. But if you think about human beings and the development in a Darwinian way of things like ego, failure, embarrassment, some of those things that you just mentioned, they must be there for a reason because it's survival of the fittest. Those things aren't going from our genetic makeup. So that kind of points to a fact that they're there for a reason.
So you think they're features rather than bugs, to use the language of Lex Friedman?
I do. I think that they're probably a driving factor in why basically apes have been able to evolve into an epoch that is quite amazing in about a million years, right? I think it's got to be part of it.
Speaking of apes evolving, Chris, what do you think?
I knew that was coming. I was like waiting.
AI does freak me out. So just so I understand this, are we saying the AI's created these films?
No, AI has nothing to do with it. Glad you paid attention, Chris. No, AI's got nothing to do with it. So the point is, it's for the Brooklyn Film Festival, which obviously is featuring films that are made by humans.
So this is like very anti-AI.
This is anti-AI, to say, right. So the question that they're asking is, could an AI do this, basically?
Right, sure.
As impressive as AI is, that's hard to say, I don't know if at this point at the moment you wouldn't get a kind of evocative, gut-wrenching short film made by AI is what they're proposing, at least.
I think what you said, like basing your own emotive drive off previous experiences, AI doesn't have that, right? Unless, can you embed emotion into AI? The AI coder could somewhat...
You could get fake emotion, a sort of simulacrum of emotion.
Yeah.
The film's making the point that without failure, you're not a human being. In these short films, these human beings keep on failing and decide to write a script that involves that failure. That's what it's saying. I think the more interesting question is, could AI have written this short film?
That's the question, isn't it? Because what I said, the jumping off point is, could AI do this? I kind of find myself thinking, yeah, probably. Maybe in about 6 months.
Gina, I'm going to ask you, and I do not want you to say, I'm not interested in AI, it's probably going to take over the world. I don't care.
Because they talk about it every week.
I know, but it's just everywhere. It's pervasive. It's like...
I understand. And we are in touch with culture, so let's continue talking about it.
And this is anti-AI as well. We're fighting back.
Yeah, exactly.
What were you going to ask me?
I don't know. What do you think about it?
I like them as little films. I think they're like sweet and nice, and I get their point, so...
Are you not worried about AI, Gina?
No.
Doesn't bother you?
I'm the opposite of Chris. It doesn't bother me, no.
You're completely au fait with what, you know, is happening.
Just whatever happens, happens.
Yeah, what can I do?
It's like your data. You don't give a shit, do you, that it's like
you
anywhere.
You said dating or data?
That's
well,
why I like...
same thing. Her dating data is everywhere as well.
It really is. All over London.
I mean, what I'm saying is, like, I've talked to you about your own data before. Yeah. You're like, I don't care. I don't care if Mark Zuckerberg can read all my stuff. I'm just getting on with my life. I'm not doing anything wrong.
That's exactly it. Yeah. It's kind of beyond it now.
I kind of get that.
It keeps developing. There's nothing we can really do about it apart from writers going on strike, because that's really going to stop it. It doesn't bother me, if I'm honest. But if you're talking about the story, I really like the films. I think they're really nice.
Whether you agree with the overall point of can AI do this or can't you, for at least the premise, I think the execution is really nicely done.
Yeah,
so
sure.
I think if we put it back to what it is, which is an advert for a film festival, then I think it's incredibly effective because it plays on something that's very, very much in the zeitgeist, which is, can an AI write a film? So even if you disagree, it's still doing its job and raising attention for the festival.
And also, you know, I'm not bothered by AI, but this is interesting because it makes me actually think about AI, whereas normally I don't care enough to think about it. So
I think we're all in agreement. I think this is a really smart execution. Yeah. I think what they've done is they've taken something that is in zeitgeist and they've put a spin on it to kind of create attention from what people are talking about. And this is a hot topic, like James said, with the writer's strike. And I think they've done a nice job of it.
Yeah, it's tension, but it's still warm. And I like how it appeals to creatives because it strokes their delicate, self-important ego. Yeah. Saying,
you
oh,
can't
you're so
do
special.
What I do, AI. Yeah, exactly. I will never be able to do it. I've failed so many times to get here.
All right, then. What's the second story?
What's the second story? Oh, yeah. So, Gina and Gareth, I chose that last story with you in mind. And for this next one, I was thinking of our esteemed hairy guest over here. Chris, have you, by any chance, ever drunk Frosty Jack cider?
Oh, that is a super question. I think you know the answer.
Okay. I suspected as much. So, for a bit of background, I don't know, how do you define Frosty Jack cider? They're a very, very strong, as an alcohol strong cider brand.
What are we talking here? They're like 8%.
About 8%, 8%. Yeah. And they're sold in big plastic bottles, or they were.
Usually like 3 litres.
Yeah, 3 litre bottles.
Hot mixed vibes.
Exactly. Yeah. Maybe the reputation, yeah, it's drunk by teenagers and people of the street.
When I grew up, I grew up drinking Mary Down cider. Has anyone heard of that?
No, we're not 70 years old.
That's tomorrow, Gina. Not today. 69. God.
It is your penultimate birthday, after all. So, yeah, they've got that reputation, which has been around for a long time. And I don't think I've ever seen them do any advertising. They're just
I've never seen them ever.
They just kind of exist. Now, they've basically done their first TV ads looking to, I guess, update their whole image. Have you all seen it? Because they're striking quite a kind of surreal sense of humour. It's a long way away from what they were previously.
Should we play a bit just so we have that one?
I'm Hans, and you're looking at the new face of Frosty Jacks.
So there you go, it's a new face. Who doesn't have a face? He's Hans.
So it's a very offbeat advert. It's got like a guy, you can't see his face because he's covered in a hat with a kind of lampshade thing going on. He's a thespian-y sort of like hand actor.
Yeah, it's kind of like Toast of London-y a little bit, if anyone knows that.
Yeah. I don't think it makes any sense, but I think that's the point, right? I don't think
it starts with the basic premise, which they write out at the start, which is we save money on our celebrity endorsements, so you can save money on your cider. The main point there is we make cheap cider, so they've obviously chosen this as the vehicle to get that across, while also showing a slightly new look, because it's not the big 3 litre plastic bottle, because you couldn't even imagine having that in an advert. Now they've got these sleeker cans, which look a bit like a Coors Light.
I thought that, they look like Coors, yeah.
Traditionally, who do we think drunk this? So we think kids on park benches, and yep. How do we politely say this? People that enjoy high-strength, cheap drinks, right?
Yeah, like, sauce monkeys. Yeah,
sauce monkeys. I like that. Yeah. Is that your hinge, Mayo? No, it should be.
So who are they trying to appeal to beyond the sauce monkeys and the kids?
Well, that's the question, isn't
Everyone
it?
Everyone else, no?
They're coming in at a price point. It's fucking strong.
I think it's kind of young people in a park kind of thing. Like, think about the other kind of canned or tinned ciders or whatever that are kind of ready to drink. I think if it's a nice sunny day, you go into the park, you just want to grab a few tinnies. You think, oh, great, I'll get a couple of Frosty Jacks because I only need a couple of them and it'll get me nice and pissed.
But was that not the market already, or is it trying to cement it?
Kind of, but I think they're trying to make it so it isn't something to be ashamed of. If you're in the park drinking a big bottle of Frosty Jacks, you look like a wrong'un. Whereas this is more subtle, I suppose. So I think they're not trying to do anything too revolutionary, I don't think. I think they're just trying to get it in the same conversation as the various other cider brands.
Yeah, I think you make a good point there.
I don't think I've ever seen them make or sell this in cans, right?
No, I think the cans are completely new. I think it's always bottled.
Yeah, they're obviously just trying to like reimagine the brand, because what kind of perception would you have if you saw someone with a 3 litre bottle of cider?
It's hard to be sold with that, isn't it? Yeah.
I mean, with a can, it's way more discreet. And yeah, I'll definitely get back on the Jacks.
There you go. Yeah. Well, it's funny, actually.
It's worked.
Sauce monkey. You saucy little monkey.
We spoke about it earlier, and Gareth said, who do you think the target is? And I said, I think it's Chris. So clearly, it's worked.
When I initially read this, where it says all hands on deck, I initially thought they've got Super Hands in to be their like brand ambassador.
What, and deck from All Hands on Deck?
Gina?
Yuck.
Sat there with your...
My fancy drink.
Yeah, your fancy drink.
I won't drink it, but I quite like it, because it's actually really funny that you brought this type of story, because this morning I was on the tube platform and there was like 3 billboards next to each other, all different alcohol brands, and they love these adverts where there's long texts of writing, origin stories, it's all really serious, it's all about like
Those are the craft ones,
yeah,
aren't
all
they?
Craft, yeah. And like being authentic, whether that's beer, whiskey, rum, whatever, there's always some long story that I'm not going to stand there and read, because I don't care. If I'm going to drink something, I'm going to drink something. And I think that's what they, Frosty Jacks, understand, that if Chris is going to drink something, he's going to drink
it. Just keep it simple. They just want something strong. cheap.
Exactly.
And it's got a fucking
cut the bullshit, not the cider.
There you go.
I think there's quite strict rules around alcohol advertising. Like, you're not allowed to show people actually drinking, I don't think. And you can't, like, imply that it will get you drunk.
But yeah,
the line they've gone with is crack open the unexpected, which I think is like a subtle little hint at, if you drink this, something weird might happen. You might get a little bit out of control.
Is that the activation line?
Yeah, crack open the unexpected.
That's pretty good, isn't it?
It's not bad, yeah, because it's still got a little bit of that. Something could go wrong. Who knows what will happen once you have a couple of frosty jets.
You can have an unexpected night if you're having fucking 8% a can, right?
Well, there you go. So
no,
I think
you have an unexpected night after a pint.
Listen, I follow your stories. I like most nights are an unexpected night in the world of Gina.
That's because life is short.
Chris, what are you bringing this week?
My story is about Crocs.
I love Crocs.
I like Crocs.
I got two pairs.
Wait, quick one then. Have you got a pair of Crocs?
I do, they got flames on them.
You got a pair of Crocs?
No, I actually unfortunately opted for Addy clogs.
That's disgusting.
I can't regret.
Have you seen them?
No.
Let me show you.
Will you be wearing them in the summer?
They're just not that comfortable. I'll just be in socks and sliders.
Right, fair
enough. These are Addy clogs.
Oh my God, they're awful. Chris, what were you thinking?
I have two pairs of Crocs and I post them everywhere because I'm really proud of them. I've got a green pair, a purple pair, they've got badges and everything.
And are Crocs comfortable?
They are so comfortable. You can do everything in them. And Chris is going to go into a bit more detail about his story.
Everything?
Yeah.
So, yes, James, everything.
If you missed it, Crocs and Minecraft did a special collab back in February. So you could get Minecraft branded Crocs. They come with the Jibbitz charms.
Jibbitz, yeah.
The Jibbitz.
They're the little things you push into the holes.
Yeah.
Oh. So it's part...
my mind did go to James, anyway.
Stop sticking your Jibbitz in the holes.
It's not
your birthday yet.
So as part of this collab, Crocs and Minecraft are launching an AR gaming experience. So if you bought one of these special pair of Crocs, you can basically go onto this website called chooseyourmode.net. It kind of is tapping into the whole, how do you wear your Crocs? Like sports mode, relaxed mode. Gina, I don't know if you want to...
I definitely can.
Give some
insight into what that is. Yeah, so sports mode is when the strap is on. The strap stays on. It's on the back of your foot. You're secure. You can drive.
You can leg
run.
It. You can fight. You can run then, from the police.
Which is what I do often. And then relaxed mode is when the strap's not on. It's to the front. So you're barebacking it, basically. there's no strap on the back. So yeah, that's the two different ways. And I feel like this is an interesting story because I feel like Minecraft and Crocs both have like a cult following.
Exactly. And you know, this is language that Crocs have obviously not like put out. It's very much like the cult following that have created
community,
this. So they're tapping into that. And basically the two modes, when you scan your charm, so you've got your relaxed mode, basically you enter like the Minecraft creative mode, you go on your phone, do whatever, and then you've got your sports mode, so it's kind of like a more of a survival based environment, so you run around the lava, blah blah blah,
standard with Crocs running around lava,
when you're maxing relaxing.
It would look like that.
Oh, I see.
So you scan your charm and then little game pops up.
That's a neat little idea, I suppose. Is that going to drive people to buy Crocs?
I was going to say, the operative word there to me is little. I don't really entirely get what it is exactly. It's a nice little thing. I like it. And I like how they're leaning into and playing on that little trope of kind of relaxed mode, sport mode or something. I think that's pretty smart.
Yeah, but I'm not quite sure what that's going to drive. Apart from maybe brand affinity.
Is it? Yeah, is that what it is? This is just like a nice thing, a nice sort of...
I don't think it's going to get a new pair of Crocs over the line, is it?
No, because the collab was in February, so I guess it's just like developing.
It's a nice little add-on, basically.
Yeah, little activation plugin that they've done.
Yeah, okay. Gina?
Yeah, I'm a fan. I think it's a good example of like putting on two like cult following things. Things that are heavily based around community, which Crocs actually are.
Is there a Crocs community?
100%.
Yeah, there kind of is.
There is.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure you can find a Reddit thread.
As you can see, people who like Crocs are quite militant about them.
Yeah. Ace and Tate and Crocs.
It's two things you can't fuck with in Gina's life.
No, and Picantes.
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, that's a nice, neat little story, but I'm
impressed.
Not quite... I don't know.
I agree. I like the kind of the marrying up of the cult followings, but then that's to the credit of like the original release, which was in February. I'm not sure this is doing that much, but it's weird that it's so much later on as well.
I was about to say, that's a very long tail connection, isn't it?
They were clearly in relaxed mode.
They were, yes. All right, then, moving on. Gina, what have you got?
Speaking of collabs, I've got another collab for you, very different to Crocs. Basically, the luxury watch brand Hublot have paired with Nespresso, the coffee company, to use recycled coffee grounds and capsules to make watch straps for these luxury watches. They are retailing at a whopping $24,000 per piece. They've only made 200, so it's kind of like a limited edition.
So are you talking about like the little Nespresso pods?
Pods, yeah.
Yeah. And the coffee grounds.
And the grounds. Yeah.
Right.
They've been recycled to make these watches.
Because those are fucking awful for the environment, you know, those little pods.
I guess that's the point, right? They're now repurposing them to make 200 Hublot watches, which are bright green. Apparently that's recalling the hue of unroasted coffee beans, and yeah, that's basically what it looks like. I thought it was cool.
I think it's awful.
Why do you think it's awful?
I think it's awful. Like, number one, the marrying up of Nespresso.
No, it is random. It's random.
Yeah.
But Hublot do weird collabs. I don't know why they've chosen with Nespresso.
Well,
but
you can imagine someone wearing an Hublot. You can imagine George Clooney wearing an Hublot, couldn't you?
Yeah, but I think George Clooney is not representative, really. He's an aspirational character that the brand's using to sell.
They basically said it's all about showing and demonstrating how you can add value and recycle raw and used materials to something that I guess is already quite luxurious.
Yeah, but that's just stupid. They're not going to sell a lot. It's not
like 200 anyway.
Exactly. So yeah,
they'll probably shift.
And also, people buying them aren't going to think I'm doing this because I'm like eco-friendly. They're buying them because they want to say they've got a Hublot watch.
So you think
green.
It's cool? So would you think like, it's my birthday tomorrow? And I'm like, oh, what did you get? And I was like, oh, I got a Nespresso Hublot watch.
But it's not like branded. It's just made out of Nespresso.
Also, I understand, but that is a collab, right?
It has a little N on it. Sure. And it's white green.
Yeah, I would never wear Nespresso. I can't believe that all of you are like, yeah, this is real deep story. It's fucking terrible.
I like how they've made a watch out of coffee.
Yeah.
How'd you do that?
Yeah.
Professor.
And the box is recycled and all this stuff. So
I'm not that impressed with that. But we keep getting stories now where it's like, you can make a shoe out of a swan. Actually, no, you could do that, to be fair.
We've spoken about how you can make like coffins from mushrooms and stuff, remember?
Biodegradable.
I guess it's kind of interesting to just see this luxury watch brand thinking, okay, how can we use recycled materials to make a watch? And they've decided to go with Nespresso.
How much are they retailing at? Do you know?
$24,000.
Frick's sake.
Which is ridiculous.
But they're like collectors.
$24,000 on anything related to Nespresso. For fuck's sake, guys. Why am I the only person seeing this? Such an uncool brand. There is an Nespresso shop in Westfield.
There is, yeah.
I walked past her the other day, like this huge shop, empty, and I looked in there and I just thought, why the fuck is there an Nespresso shop? And someone came up to me and said, can I help you? And I was like, no, why is there an Nespresso shop? I have no idea. And they looked at me like...
Oh, you said that to the person working there.
I said, I'm really confused why you've got an Nespresso shop.
Why do you exist?
Listen, I've got nothing against Nespresso. I just feel like it's not the coolest of brands.
I understand.
Nor do I feel like it's got an alignment really with luxury.
I think I missed a point.
You get a proper coffee machine if you want luxury coffee.
I missed a point. The watch forms part of Nespresso's Second Life initiatives. They're collaborating with other brands to repurpose coffee grounds. So this is one part of a big initiative. The watch just happens to be
that makes a bit more sense that it's coming from Nespresso first and going to Hublot. Do we know any of the other ones? Or is this the first one?
I think this might be one of the first because I can't see anything. And it's actually called the Big Bang Unico Nespresso Origin Watch.
Wow, that's a great
name. What a name.
Yeah.
Really rolls off. Okay, it's Gareth's birthday tomorrow. I better return the watch I just bought.
Does anyone else want to pile into this?
Well, I wish I hadn't already written it for the newsletter.
Wow. Shit, boy, is that going in?
Is that piece of bullshit going in?
I watched the video as well. It's awful.
The video is shit, to be fair.
I've never heard
the most vanilla video I've ever seen.
I'll be honest, I wanted to get a cool shit done today, but yeah, I might have to do a rewrite.
No.
Might have to go for that Crocs thing.
I don't see many luxurious watch brands do collabs or wacky shit like this. Seems very on brand for Hublot to entertain this, but I think it's cool. I've got recycled shoes.
Yeah?
Yeah, I've got some recycled Nike Terrascapes.
Yeah, they're nice.
Oh, yeah, I've got them as well.
Recycled.
Twinsies.
So if there was like a recycled Nike fucking Nespresso pod.
It is the Nespresso part that's slightly thrown off, isn't it? Also, the bright green isn't a great look.
I think people might like it though.
But that's the thing, it's a kind of collector's item, isn't it? It's a little sort of one-off.
There's major watch heads out there. It's a huge market for collectible watches and resale. I don't think a real watch head is going to buy that.
The fact it's recycled though, from coffee grounds.
There's 100 billion better ways to think of building recycling into watchmaking that would be far more interesting.
What? Name one. Since there's 1 million.
Well, I haven't had the brief, one and if you do want to get in touch, Hublot, we're willing to chat.
Do you know how many of those pods I've used today?
How many?
Seven, because I kept doing it wrong, and they all went to waste.
They never work.
They never work. Yeah. But if those could have been turned into a watch, then I wouldn't feel quite as guilty as I do now.
All right, James, what's making it in this week then?
Well, I don't know now.
Grumpy boy.
What are the... What
grumpy boy.
Who's a grumpy boy?
Who's a grumpy boy?
What do I do?
Grumpy boy?
I'm going to tell my mum again. Mummy, they're being mean to me. you must hit them, Mummy. I was slightly off track now. Both of mine are going in. I can't remember what they were, but they were good. I remember that.
And you brought the Brooklyn
that was good. Yeah.
Festival.
Oh, that was... The podcast was so good back then. I was enjoying that chat.
What, half 20 minutes ago?
Yeah. Yeah, that was great.
And was that the story you brought? So
Frosty
was...
Jacks.
Yeah, Frosty Jacks.
Frosty Jacks
yeah.
was good because it related to someone in the room.
Exactly. It's a toss-up between Hublot coffee Nespresso thing, watch, and Minecraft Crocs. Okay. Gareth, do you have a point of view on which one should go in?
I've got to say that I wasn't a huge fan of either of the stories, but certainly I think that the Minecraft Crocs is way cooler. Way, way cooler.
I've got some rewrites to do.
I'll watch out for my email with intent, and so should you. Thank you very much for joining us. We'll speak to you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Stay safe.